Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2 hours you've all been waiting for is finally here.
I had to jump in, man. The streets are hot. I had to jump in here quick.
I mean, the streets are so hot.
Moneyline with the dynamic duo of Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh.
But you usually have some plans when you're rocking solo.
Really, dude? Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dude.
All right, let me just start with this. How good is the NBA then right now? How good is the NBA play postseason right now?
It's so
fun. Delivering? Is it not delivering every night?
And I woke up again in the middle of the night to see that score and go, oh my goodness. And then when I saw the highlights of how it ended, wow. Exactly.
Insanity. I mean, the fact that none of them covered.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Here we go on a Thursday. It's Moneyline. No better place to be than right here on the grid. And we are ready. And I mean we, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh here. The next 2 hours, we got you covered. Big doings in the NBA. Major League Baseball actually already underway for today. And a lot of hot topics mixed in between. It's time to go, K-Dub.
Yeah, feeling it. Excitement is palpable, baby. Live on a Thursday. Let's get after it.
Yep. Also, golf underway. A major here with Higa is in the lead here, and Thigala also in the league and lead. How about that? Expected?
Everybody Dub, involved.
The Dubs get involved in Higa?
We can't rule it out. How are the Boost boys doing? Brooksy and Rom.
You know what? Let's get a look at this here. Let's go to a little PJ action. We'll get you caught up on that here as I try to find my way around here. But a late start there for the PGA. We'll see how it turns out. I already off the bat, like, I have a pet peeve with golf. You ready for this one? Mm. Now, it might not be, you know, interesting to some, but it is to me. It's even slipped my mind. It's not split tees. What do they call it? What do they call it when they go off like 1 and 10, right? Like, I'm having a brain freeze right now.
Yeah, it's tough, though, because you're asking the wrong guy for help here.
Like, here's what it is. Yeah, golfers usually, hey, the Masters about to begin. Everybody tees off at 1, plays 1 through 18. But okay. Now they, like, okay, some guys are going to start at 1, some will start at 10. This guy has an asterisk next to his name. This guy doesn't. He's on 8, he's on 7, but he's really on the back, but he's really on the front.
Oh, guys, you know what I mean? Starting at different holes?
Staggered, yeah, like staggered tee time. I actually know what it's called. I just can't remember it in the moment right now. Yeah, the split tees. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense, and I think ruins the fear of golf.
Is that what they're doing today?
Yes, because they lost like an hour and a half, so it's a way to make up time. So they start it that way. Like, some guys go out on 1, so guys go out on 10.
I'm surprised that they would do that for a major. Like, I feel
they do it a lot when there's weather conditions in there, and it really fires me up because see, like, Higa's there, -3 at 14 with an asterisk. You're like, well, what does that mean? Is he on the 14th hole or is he on the back?
Right.
And then Thigala is -3 at 11, no asterisk. What does that mean? Is he on the front? Is he on the back? See what I mean? It's too much already to keep up with, and I can't stand when they actually do that. So there you go.
I get your beef. Okay. Now, I understand, but nevertheless, the PGA Championship is underway.
And tees.
Clearly they're, you know, with the split tees, then optimistic about, you know, getting this all done in the opening day, which that is tough. Look, and there's nothing they can do about it, right? You know, victim to the element as much as anyone golf can be at times with the weather. But I know that I don't think nobody likes when kind of a day goes without a round finished kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. But granted, if if you don't start at 7:30 and you start at 8:50 and you can't finish the day, I mean, come on, aren't these professionals? Speed it up, man. My goodness. Like, you go to, like, a municipal golf course, which means that 90% of the golfers are horrendous, so of course it takes them 9 shots on a par 4. But, like, professionals are supposed to be like, hey, man, tee to green, baby. Bang, 300 off the tee. Boom, shot into the green. Bang, putt in. See ya on the next hole. I never understand why it takes so long. And some of these guys that just pour over every single shot. We do need, and they technically do, Kevin, in golf. Have a shot clock. They have a guy watch them. Hey, guys, you're a little bit behind the pace. Make sure you speed it up. But we need, like, an official one. Like, you get up to your ball, click. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. No. We need that. We need that. We got it in every sport. Every sport has it. Every sport.
Yeah, but here's why you don't need that, okay? Here's why you don't need that. Because there is no... The people that...
I need a
shot
clock.
So when baseball did it, right, I think... It's an easier selling point because I think for baseball and attempting to regain some of the popularity makes sense. I also just think it's more appealing what they did there. The entire purpose of golf is kind of the slow, take your time nature of it. And you're not going to bring in guys like you and I to all of a sudden watch more if they do that. No, you're not. Don't lie. Don't lie. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Squeeze it in 4 hours or less. We're ready to go here. Now, granted, golf only really happens on the majors, so I think that's official. The fact do they even play in between majors? I mean, there's only 4 tournaments a year. Might as well be.
Yeah, I think that is exactly, again, why you do not do this, because trying to do something for us, like you actually watch baseball, right, and liked all the changes. You're not going to watch golf more if they put a shot clock in. You know that.
I don't know. It might be interesting. You never know. I mean, when Live Golf Tour came in, I was all in. Haven't watched it yet, but it seems pretty good. Got me over there to their side, Kevin, away from the PGA Tour to watch an extra 3 minutes of golf a year. Way to go, Live Golf Tour. Let's get it. By the way, who was the boost? John Rahm, +1 through +8. Woo-hoo! And Brooks Koepka even. Oh, that sounds like a tightrope right there. We'll be back to talk about that and much more. It's Moneyline on a Thursday afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one in full effect right here on Moneyline for a Thursday afternoon. Sirius XM channel 159. It's Donnie and Kevin here. If you want to get involved, have some fun with us, you can. It's easy to do. 844-843-6879. I do have one TV here, Kevin, with the PGA Tour Championship on. Or the PGA Championship, I should say. And also won a game just getting underway. The Tampa Bay Rays and the New York Metropolitans. By the way, there was a weather delay this morning, but the weather wasn't because it was rainy, snowy, or anything like that. It looks absolutely beautiful up in Rochester, New York today. So they're underway, and looks like scoring is decent here, but we did want to get the people caught up on that FanDuel odds boost. Rahm +1 through +8. I just saw him on the 18th hole, which is technically his 9th hole with a decent shot. And the other one was Brooks Koepka, who's even through 11. So you're not getting any leeway here. Like, you need Rahm to turn some gas on to give you a little bit of a break, but also, like, Koepka halfway through his round, he bogeys a hole. Now you might be in some trouble.
Yeah, I think the frustrating, and look, it happens, but you go into that boost, and we say this all the time, you're supposed to be basically just watching Brooks, right? Like, the level of golf he plays, you're like, all right, well, Rahm's in. Rahm's good. Rombo's not going to, go over for the day. And then if that ends up being what it is, that's incredibly frustrating. Now, it is, again, just to remind people, they both need to shoot a 70 or better, but it is a par 70 here. And they know plenty of courses, par 72, so just giving people an idea. It's basically, will they be able to shoot even flat, and then the payout there is +250, which is definitely a nice payout.
Yeah, it is a nice payout. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good wager there if you backed it. I didn't take it, so I'm just going to watch it play out and see what happens at this instance. But Tyler McGill on the mound now against the Tampa Bay Rays. They're just underway, as I said. Not a very good pitcher here. Leadoff double for the Tampa Bay Rays. So looks like they're trying to get their day started off in the right direction. And if you remember, Kevin, from this morning, saying to ourselves, hey, man, Shohei Ohtani, what's the deal, man? No base hits the last two games. Well, first inning, bang, monster blast into the seats. So he got that scoring underway between the Angels and the Orioles. That's 1-0 in the top of the third inning. And also just underway heading to the bottom of the first inning, the Nationals and the Marlins. I didn't really like too many of these games. I thought the Rays might be a decent outcome just because, again, McGill's not a very good pitcher. The Rays are a good baseball team. The Rays should have won yesterday and didn't. But I do think they snap back today. So there's that.
Yeah, the Mets though, again, like it was very interesting reading that line today, and it kind of and it's been this way for a while. And you mentioned it off the top, right? But preseason, if I said, hey, the Mets are pick them at home against Tampa Bay, but wow, the Mets must have a really bad pitcher on the mound,
mm-hmm.
just because you know the Mets are supposed to be one of the best teams. Where instead, you see that and you go, man, all right, Mets getting some love here today on the line. That's just the way Tampa Bay, you know, has kind of transitioned. And it's going to be a while, I think, before we see short Tampa numbers and think to ourselves, you know what, that's too much Rays respect.
And a infield single here, I believe, by Rosarena, which now has a first and third nobody out here feel for the Mets right off the bat. I'm sure their fans are loving that today out at the ballpark. But it is a short Major League Baseball card, and we do have one NBA game, which is certainly very, very much looking forward to it. But having said that, Kevin, you know, we like to start with the hottest of topics here before we actually dip into some of this NBA action. Last night in your place, I mean, with the two TVs set up, one for AEW and one for the Bravo Network last night. I mean, so, big things happened last night. No lie.
So we started the Dynamite because the basketball game didn't start till 8:30.
Now hold on. Sing the opening to Dynamite for me.
Whoa! Hold on.
Yeah. What do you got? Yeah.
Let's
come on.
Go.
Okay.
Ignite.
Okay.
Uh huh. Now you're ready for dying. Hold on a minute.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy.
Wait a minute. I'm crumbling under the pressure.
This is bad. Are you really an AEW guy?
I need a minute to read. Hold on. I don't like where this
went
here. Woo. I don't like where this just went on the fly. Maybe JP can play. I don't know if
JP,
actually.
Cut this, please.
I don't know if we are allowed to play. That might be copyright infringement. Nevertheless. Which, again, is one of the all-time moments on the early line. I can still believe it.
By the way,
you try to get me fired and basically thrown in jail is how I.
Oh, come on. I mean, it should have gone on as planned. And by the way, you're like this. You weren't on the early line yesterday. It was me and Joe. We had an Aaron Judge cut from after the game. Talking about, like, you know, how the series was going and the chatter and all that stuff. It was like a minute and a half clip. But there was just it was Earth, Wind, and Fire playing in the background as if it was just like under the track. So in the background, I hear Brian with his, are we about to get in trouble for like just playing this all the way through? And Rainier was like, yeah, probably so. But it was like a minute and a half clip where you were either listening to Aaron Judge or straight up radio, it sounded like. It was pretty good. I thought you would have enjoyed that.
I do like that. Yeah. That reminds me of another story, but I'm going to keep that one to the side for now. Anyway, the point I was going to make, though, is so we throw Dynamite, then press record. We're going to DVR. We'll finish it after, right?
Now, why, though? You know, for what reason?
Because the decision was made, that the basketball deserved volume. Yeah. You can't watch wrestling without volume.
Bunch of Heat fans in there, that's why.
It's that's the truth. So we made that decision, right? Halftime, pop back into Dynamite, saw what was what. But what was incredible is, you know, because I was back in Queens. My mom usually goes to bed pretty early, right? Mm-hmm. 9 o'clock, she's up there running around, like, what's going on? She's like, my show's about to start. We're like, what? Yeah. Vanderpump Rules, excitement level as, you know, in the same way that we would get about going to watch the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, it's a big one here. It's a big one. So the Vanderpump Rules hype is real. Bravo's clearly got themselves a smash hit on their hands.
Yeah, this was the one that everybody at K-Dub was waiting for. And he was saying, well, how do I know? Come on, man. Look, let's, you know, there's certain things that you have to stay up for sometimes here. Maybe get a little bit of a late break on the morning. And that's when you have like a season finale of Vanderpump Rules to see who's cheating on who and how's this going to set up the future. I mean, there's big doings here. And I heard there is heat between AEW and the Bravo Network here. It's like, you know what? Maybe we should stagger our times here.
No, there. See, what this is what happens, though, when a show like Vanderpump Rules is able to, because WWE, AEW, you know, wrestling in general, right, is 52 yes. times, you know, it's every single week. So what happens when a new show like that pops up, it's like, man, all right, AEW just has to get through Vanderpump Rules season,
yep.
and then they can start to get some of their yeah. numbers back, because yep. this thing is a monster, ratings-wise. It's an absolute monster right now.
There you go. So you never thought you would see it. Well, maybe the NFL says, you know, we're not even going to go up against Vanderpump. Please, Vanderpump Rules, don't go with a Black Friday.
I'd rather not, you know, all day
marathon at this point here, because it's big doings out here in the streets. But I thought we would clear that up, and many people questioning if Kevin is even an AEW fan because he can't even, you know, get
that's the theme down at that point.
That's tough not, scene.
We don't appreciate it. Let me here. Hold on. I'll give you this quickly. You're going to laugh at me. Manchester United is coming.
Holland? Is he coming with them?
No, that's Manchester City.
Oh.
That's all right. I mean, but again, you knew that. You're playing a little prank. So United is coming to play Arsenal at MetLife on July 22nd. And if somebody asks me who am I a fan of, I would say Manchester United. That's the team that I picked when I decided to pick a team. Right? Mm-hmm. Buddy of mine, diehard soccer fan. He's like, hey, do you want to go to the game? And a part of me is like, ah, but I was like, you know what? I feel like I always say no. I'll go. Why not? It, you know, it should be a good time kind of thing. Well, yesterday, DRS, Collision, AEW's brand new Saturday show, unveils their schedule. And what do you know, July 22nd, live at the Prudential Center.
Yeah.
So now, I might have to just bail on the soccer game. I don't know.
Same time? Can't be double duty? Same state?
It's the... The soccer time says TBD on ESPN, but the tickets say 5 p.m. I'm holding out hope that they're going to drop that start time to like noon or something like that, because then I will just do both.
Where is it, at MetLife?
I don't know. The soccer game is at MetLife, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, look at that. It might be one of those where it's like, hey, Kevin, this is setting up to be one of the best wrestling shows we've had,
yeah, exactly.
And there you are at a soccer game with no meaning in it. I mean, backups all over
friendly.
The place.
It's a
exactly.
friendly.
They might pick fans. Yeah, exactly. They might pick fans out to actually play in that game and just throw the kid on here at the right time. We'll be back. It's Thursday. We're ready to go. Let's do it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thursday afternoon, we got a couple Major League Baseball games already underway. Hey, the Angels got three runs. You want to know how they got them? Home runs by Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, I mean, stop. A, no,
yeah,
don't say
that's
that.
The, no, that's the way you go. Through the top of the third. What?
I was supposed to put in the Ohtani Trout hitter prop parlay just, you know, for the show. And then I just didn't do it. And so, I mean, all right. Well, it is what it is. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm seeing somebody posting a ticket here that had Trout for home run and Ohtani for home run. 20-1. There you go.
Oh, I didn't know where that was going to go. All right.
Oh, boy.
I didn't know.
What did you think?
I know.
What did you think?
Maybe something involved with the first inning runs or something like that, maybe.
Apparently the Rays and the Mets, who did score in the first inning, I don't know if that was a one you should have taken or not taken, but
yeah, we'll find out after.
We'll find out if it's a little bit later. And by the way, the Mets here doing a little damage. They have first and third now with one out in the bottom of the first inning.
There they go.
And actually, excuse me, second and third now as they go to hustle play here. Gets the guy. Who is that? Oh, McNeil? Yeah, gets McNeil on the second base. So here come the Metropolitans here on an afternoon. All right, let's get to the good stuff here. Last night, to the surprise of... not a single person on the Sports Grid Network. Now, granted, you know, there's a lot of shows. A lot of people come on and give their opinions. Was there anybody with a single opinion yesterday? Because, you know what? Celtics in an absolute rout tonight, and I'm ready to roll. Because the reason I ask that, with the FanDuel Sportsbook and most, and I was looking, you know, on some other applications, you were looking at close to 7 to 8 to 1 tickets lined up on the Miami Heat and no line movement really at all, which usually means like, uh-oh, here we go. That public dog that's going to go up in flames. But it was one that even like talking about it, I'm like saying, I know usually the way gambling goes and how it operates. It can't be this easy. And I said, I don't even care. Like, I'm not playing the contrarian angle. 8.5 to 8, that's ridiculous here for the Miami Heat. But watching the game, too, Miami Heat starts out good. I'm like, yeah, I knew it. Then the Celtics went on that, like, 20-5 or whatever to run it was. I'm like, oh, no. This is what we didn't want to happen here. It looks like a runaway. And the Heat were like, well, dude, we're unfazed by this. Let's just beat the hell out of the Celtics in the third quarter and drop almost 50 on the road. And the thing I always talk about with the Miami Heat, Kevin, is, you know, they're going to be a little bit offensively challenged. Pfft, not last night.
Yeah, no, look, they – and so I had the over in that game as well because we know Boston has a high level, you know, that they can hit on the offensive side. And when Miami gets it going, right, it's these big offensive performances. We saw it against Milwaukee. We saw plenty of overs. I know the joke we tell, but still, we saw plenty of overs in their series against the Knicks. So I just think we were set up for a really nice position in that game, and that obviously – ended up being the case there in terms of the total. But, the thing with Miami, and I don't know what everybody else said, admittedly. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you one thing you do like is kind of group, like, pull everybody into your thought process, which sometimes takes away your own credit, which is an odd thing. But I know what you and I believe, and I know what Ranieri thought as well. And the thing is, The odds makers are starting from such a ridiculous point on Boston. I'm not sure they're ever going to post a real Boston number that you could justify. You know what? I'm going to have to get involved right now. DRS, if the Heat win the next game, which, look, they really have no business doing. Nobody goes up 2-0 on the road. But just hypothetically, what is that series price? Not what you would set. Not what you had set, but based on what they have currently listed there right now, is Miami above a pick'em?
Yeah, like plus 100, up 2-0 with home court advantage heading back to their building. Which, granted, if you would have said, like, well, what's going to happen? Well, Miami's going to get at least one of those. Okay, it's 3-1 going back to Boston. Oh, that's great. Boston minus 135. Like, what? Like, nothing. Yeah. This doesn't make sense the way it's priced. And we said that. It didn't make sense. I know how good the Celtics are. I get that. But it's always that sometimes I feel like the pricing is not just based on, like, what happened 2 weeks ago. It's like, hey, you know, remember how good, like, the Celtics were coming down the stretch here and, you know, before they made the playoffs? Like, yes, I understand that. But these teams are completely different now and expectations have changed where it's like, well, let's see what we can do against the Bucks. Like, no, they were the better team than the Bucks. Let's see what we can do against the, you know, Knicks. No, we're the better team. And that's like, well, they can't possibly beat the Celtics. Why? Because they couldn't beat the Bucks, and they did? Right. It's ludicrous. It is.
Yes. It's a great I heard a little bit of this, right? Well, hey, now, look, wouldn't you agree? Boston played the more difficult team in round two, and it's like, and? What does that mean? Miami played Milwaukee in round one. What are you doing? And also, I'm sorry, but I'm not giving Boston credit for their seven game, you know, that it took them to beat Philly to that degree. We talked about this with Golden State beating Sacramento. There was all these people who believed that was going to be Golden State in a rout. It was Golden State in seven, took one of the finest games of Steph's career to put him away, and people went, I mean, how's anybody ever going to beat Golden State? We're like, what? Mm-hmm. They just underperformed your expectations. Like, I don't understand. Boston has gone out there back-to-back series and underperformed expectations. The notion against Atlanta was a sweep. It took them six games. The notion against Philly was a quick bit of domination. It took them seven games. Mm-hmm. They have not lived up to the hype, Boston, and I am someone that picked them to win the title. I think they have the best roster in the league, but they are not to be trusted. They have shown that now for the entirety of these playoffs.
Yes, and the best part about it is, you know, the year and a half of maybe Tatum and Brown can't work together, somebody's not happy, they'll leave. And then after the Sixers series ended, it was all hugs around, like, oh, man, you guys are so stupid to say we couldn't play together. You. And then you know what, Kevin, a week and a half later, Jalen Brown's going to be like, I never wanted to be in Boston, so I'm out of here and I can't play anymore. But 4 days ago, oh, these guys love each other. They never want to be separated.
But, you know, and here's the thing, right? Like, so you said this to me once on almost like a passerby topic, and it's now become like a big part of the way I view some things in terms of where athletes are irrational, and it's a part of what makes them. Mm-hmm. So when Jalen and Jason be like, I don't even understand why people act like there could ever be an issue here. Like, I move past it, right? Because, like, mm-hmm. of course that's how they act. What I don't understand is how Boston beats the Sixers, and then folks, you know, in the media, online, you guys think they can play together? Why are you acting like we are creating this out of thin air? Uh-huh. Jaylen Brown shows time and time again he might not want to be in Boston. We didn't create this. I'm aware how easily two of the best two-way wings fit next to one another. I'm like, you're not outsmarting people by saying that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum stylistically fit. Everybody can see that. The problem is, number seven, at least twice a series, makes it abundantly clear that if he was no longer a Celtic, he'd be more than fine with it.
Yes, and also, you have to remember, like, athletes, again, in that stratosphere, are not, like, common individuals, right? And the reason I'm getting is, people get married and get divorced all the time. Hey, my God, this is the love of my life. A year later, like, I don't even know what I saw in that. You know, I got to get out of this and, you know, yeah. get back out on the market. You take a look at NBA players like Shaq and Kobe, were one in the same. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, okay, we're winning championships, but this is my team. That's my team. All right, watch this. I want you out. You leave. You go win a championship somewhere else. Okay, say, man, look at this. For 15 years, Westbrook and Durant are going to be together. They couldn't stand each other at the end of it. You had Kevin Durant go to Golden State. It's like, hey, this is a match made in heaven. Multiple championships, KD's like, what, I'm not getting enough credit? Yeah, I got to get out of here. When you'd be ludicrous to leave when you actually view it. Like, imagine if KD's like, you know what, it's just about winning to me. I'm just going to keep re-signing with Golden State, and they eviscerate everybody along the way. But that's not the way athletes look at it. It's almost like they say, I want my own thing. What's more important to me is, yeah, I got three championships or four. I want one of my own now to show people how actual great I am. That's why athletes are crazy in the mind. If they can't win it somewhere and then do, it's like, well, hold on now. You tell me Dwayne Wade was a big part of this? Yeah, I can't deal with this. I got to get out of here.
I don't know. The commentary at times around the Celtics can just be not.
Because it was like a victory lap, wasn't it, Kevin? It was like a victory. Yeah. They beat the Sixers. Like, you idiots, man. These guys never are going to leave each other. And trust me, a gentleman sweep against them to Miami? You both might be out of there at that point, it feels like. You know what I mean?
I don't even want to be here anymore.
Get me out of here. I mean, come on, Tatum down to Philadelphia for Harden, sign and trade. I mean, come on, we can make this happen.
I love where your head's at. I just think the way people try and frame these things is just bizarre. It really is. Because, again, like, you know how people can be, right, Don? Like, I pick the Celtics to win a title. Right. So usually someone then in that position, victory laps, I told you Boston was fine. Nothing to worry about. Onwards to the title. And it's like, no, there's a lot of concerning things going on here. Things are not going well, guys. And that's just been pretty obvious to see. But, you know, the one thing that I think I want to course correct a little bit, and it's something that I think you and I have talked about at times. Right. Because I think it's the way it played out. The last time Miami went on this run is, you know, if Miami gets to the finals, well, all right, you know, that's where the fun stops, right? Like, Miami's not going to be able to beat a Denver. They're not going to be able to beat a Lakers. And it, you just, well, why not? I'm not saying I'd pick them to beat either of those teams in the West, but I think even that conversation needs to end. I really don't think that's the way we should be framing it around the Heat at all.
Yeah, other hot conversations, too, because you love the back and forth. A series ago, I was like, hey, by the way, Steph beats LeBron. He moves over the pedestal for LeBron James. Be like, yeah, I'll buy into that. Now, here's the best part. LeBron James and the Lakers tear apart Golden State, but then you lose to the Nuggets. I mean, come on, man. You got to get Steph back in that conversation now as being better than LeBron. It's hilarious the way it ends up, but that's the way it is, and that's what the talk is fun. Unless the Celtics win, there's always going to be question marks. Can those two play together? Obviously, they can, but something is wrong where it's like, hey, maybe I need the ball more. You have it too much. Pass me the ball. I don't want to pass you the ball. That's what happens to superstar athletes. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline on a Thursday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball here, full effect. Three games already underway. Angels 3-0 over the Orioles in the top of the fourth inning. I thought the Orioles had a legitimate chance in this game. Looks like the offense not showing up there. The Miami Marlins 1-0 over the Nationals. That was that game. I just said pure coin flip here. Get after it. And looks like that's the case. Rays and the Mets tied at 1 heading into the bottom of the second inning. There is going to be a game starting up in the 2 o'clock hour. That's the Guardians and the White Sox. The White Sox currently sitting here at a minus 146 favorite and a total of 7.5. The thing I like about this is, you know, sometimes I'm a creature of habit for the most part. I like what I see, and also, so are Major League Baseball players. I just prefer the night games. Not because I don't want to have a game on in the middle of the afternoon. I bet them all the time. But I just feel like the whole process of a Major League Baseball team slash player slash pitcher getting ready is really predicated on the 7 o'clock start. There's two good games tonight here to look at. That's the Yankees and the Blue Jays and the Dodgers and the Cardinals. Just from star power, it's two good games. But also, yeah. I do think there are advantages. The one thing, Kevin, that I didn't like about this is I go, like, sometimes on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, you're not here. I have extra time, like, spin my wheels on, like, the thought process that goes into things, how I set up my day. Like, if you're looking today, the worst pitcher on the card, technically, was Anderson for the Angels today. 140 xFIP minus. That's where I started at. And again, I've explained it multiple times. It's basically, how does your pitcher do by himself in the environment that he plays in? Coors Field, Oriole Park, the A's, it all meshes in on based on a 100 scale. Above that stinks for a pitcher. Below that, very good. Now, when I said this morning, like, hey, you know what? I'm really looking to get the Dodgers to get after Adam Wainwright in a pretty good opportunity. St. Louis is a hitter's ballpark. It's warm there, close to 80 degrees. He's been terrible through his 10 innings, but he does have an xFIP minus of 103, which isn't that bad. Like Nestor Cortez, a guy that you're looking to fade tonight, he's a 119 xFIP minus. So that's certainly legit. It just caught me by a little bit surprise here because those numbers don't correlate, right? 7 ERA, xFIP minus at 103. That basically is the equivalent of saying, like, well, if there's an average ERA, Kevin, it's like 4. That's where he should be, but he's actually at a 7 ERA. So it caught me by surprise. I don't know if it's going to have enough for me to, like, back off of it. No doubt in my mind I'm going to be picking some RBI shots. But I like to see those numbers, like 115 or higher, because that means they're not pitching to their capabilities and it's showing up. Wainwright, with that appearance, just looks like things aren't going correct for him at this time. Maybe a little bit of bad luck. I don't know if it's enough to pull me off of it, but I wasn't actually happy to see that. I wish it was a much, much lower number, so... So that's where we are today.
And I know for you, you know, RBI shots, we've talked about this, right? But this is kind of where plus money, especially the round robin approach you use, where you don't need to be, you don't need to be perfect, right? When it comes to a team total, it's a, you know, one straight wager, got to be a winner, right? Is the idea there. So are you kind of in a spot right now? What's going to be the determining factor as to whether or not you're in on a team total then in this spot?
Probably the when I see the final lineup, because they only give, most places only give estimated lineups going, okay, based on the numbers, here's what they're probably going to do. Because as we know, the manager isn't sitting in his office like, hey, I got a feel for this, man. I think I have a big game tonight. Like, no. Analytics tell you who actually should be at the plate tonight versus a certain pitcher. And they're usually pretty on point. If there's nine players in a lineup, they're usually at least 8 of 9. But sometimes you get those surprise games like, hold on now. You took two of the best hitters out of the lineup, even though they only have, let's just say, 15 or 20 at-bats against righty or left-handed pitching the past 30 days. Sometimes that messes with it a little bit. But it is one of those where I do like to take the teams on the road because I know no matter what happens, I'm going to get those full 9 innings out of it. So between the Yankees-Blue Jays game, the Dodgers-Cardinals game, they're both listed at 9. I actually think there's a legitimate chance both of those games do go over. But it's almost like, what am I going to trust here? Nestor Cortez and his worst xFIP minus? Or am I just going to trust the numbers itself and the eyes going, man, that Dodgers lineup is raking right now. I'll take my chances.
Yeah, look, So I know the reason that you ultimately, that Braves team total that we had talked about on Monday.
Yes.
Now, blasted. It's not apples to apples, right? Because that was more of this minor league pitcher thing. But, you know, and the joke I told you is, well, I can bet it because, you know, I can take the risks kind of thing, right? Where, you know, just the difference of approach. Well, What I ended up actually doing, Donnie, was betting the over in the baseball game for some reason, opposed to the team. So I was like, you know what? We'll bring the Rangers in. Charlie Morton's like not betting credible this year, right? Correct. Like, why not? Well, you know, the Rangers really didn't matter. I believe that game finished 12-1 Atlanta. 12, oh,
I think
wow,
it was 12-0.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was a 12-0
probably
game, yeah. Oh, by the way, yes, it was, because the anomaly, Kevin, was, you know, you play the crystal ball game. Hey, Kevin, by the way, the Rangers are going to get 10 hits. Oh, sign me up for at least four or five runs. They didn't get any. Yeah, yeah. They got 10 hits and no runs. Yes, that was the game.
Yeah, one of those where instead of that being incredibly frustrating, you just laugh it off because
Atlanta
handled their business, you know, which,
like,
which
I got a couple different ways to bet. I'm going to take the total. No, I don't think so. Team total Braves? No, you know what? I think I got a pretty good one here. I'm getting a nice price on the Rangers. They got no runs and 10 hits, and you lost your bet when everything else across the table is like ping pong out there. And by the way, the round robins are a lot of fun. Some people say, well, you know, I'm not really familiar with the round robin. I never played round robin till this year. Did a little bit of research on them and said to myself, they actually make some sense, but they make some sense because of the plus money, which parlays into it. So just, it's a whole, like, you can go down a rabbit hole because nobody technically can explain a round robin correctly the first time through in under 15 minutes that will make it make sense. So I'll just leave it like this. If you parlay, right? Let's say you take a five-leg parlay. You go 4-1, Kevin. You lost. Let's say you bet $100 to win 1,000 on that leg parlay. Oh, man, I had a great 4-1. What was my payout? Nothing. Because a parlay, you have to win everything. In a round robin, it's a series of individual bets. So they're not big ones. Like if you put a $100, you know, round robin down, there might be only, you know, $12.50 or $8.75 those parlays are. But they add up because most of the time with these, you're getting plus 220 prices, plus 195 prices. And let's just say you have a five-leg round robin with RBI guys. If you get two, you're already in the money. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you've already made money. Now, granted, it's a matter of how high those are. And trust me, I've had two where I lost money. I've had two guys get base hits where I won a little bit of money. Let's just say you bet $100 or you hit two, and your winning payout was like $92. Well, you lost $8, but in a parlay, you got nothing back. At least in the round robin, the maximum percentage isn't going to be as high as a parlay because a parlay is all risk that you have to win every leg. But let's just say you get three or four of those, you can win a couple $100 off of and have a lot of fun with different games that matter. And I'll tell you right now, if you think baseball is boring to bet, take a round robin that involves, like, let's just say, six or seven guys spread out over 3 to 4 games. Mm-hmm. That's fun, man. You're like, ooh, somebody just scored in that Dodgers game. Who was it? Oh, come on. It was Muncy? Man, I needed that to be Mookie Betts. I love it. It's so much fun.
But the thing, and to sort of tie that in, and I guess this will probably be a frustrating thing for me to bring up on your end, but that Braves game, I remember the joke being the day is, wait, hold on a minute. Do I have 9 guys on the Atlanta
I think I had one.
Should be taken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I had one guy that actually cashed. I don't think I took up. I can't remember how many players I took on that, but there's some games where I might take up to 3 to 4 batters, and it's like, okay, they got 11 runs. What'd you do? I actually didn't win any money in that game. Like, what? That's the way it is.
So if memory serves, because I was fascinated in it, I obviously, since I had bet a little bit on it myself, I believe out of the 9 starters in the lineup, 7 guys had an RBI, and your parlay that day had Albies who hit, and somehow like dead center middle of the lineup, Sean Murphy who did not.
Correct.
Which just didn't even make a lick of sense.
Yeah, and I'm telling you too, because when you watch these, there are extremely bad beats that drive you wild. The other night, I didn't take a team total. I was going to. And granted, there was two games I was close to, both the Arizona Diamondbacks playing the Oakland Athletics. If I were to take both of them, I actually would have pushed both of them. One was a 5 at like minus 133. That was like a 5 at like, I don't know, minus 105. They ended up scoring, I believe, 5 runs in both of those games. So I wouldn't have won anything. But there was the night I took Ketel Marte, who was a leadoff hole, which used to get a better price because you're essentially burning the first at bat of the game. Because unless he gets a solo home run, you're not going to get an RBI prop out of him. So I wake up, and the first thing I do, because I like to tease myself sometimes, I set my notifications so when I wake up in the morning, there'll be like 5 of them there, and it gets me going like oh my goodness, there's five notifications. I hope they're all from the Diamondbacks, and I don't like to check this, so I'll go to like the box score, and the first thing I look at is the hits. Ooh, Marte had 3 hits last night. And then I slide it over, no RBI. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And then you go back and look at the box score. And some of the most frustrating things are, Kevin's like, let off in the first, let off in the third, let off in the fifth, let off in the ninth. And he's like, come on. Like, what are the chances? Like, I understand, you know, you lead off the game because that's where your batting order is. But so many times, too, like, okay, look at this. First and second base, I got the guy on deck. Get a base hit here, walk, or just hit a simple ground up to move these guys to second and third. Oh, look at that double play ball. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. So you do get those frustrating same things like, oh, I just needed a base hit here. They happen all the time. Hey, runner on third, one out. What's going to happen? So I put my phone down, got the notifications on. I was like, oh, that's taking too long. Oh, my guy struck out. Thanks, man. So the same thing's still going on.
No, I tell you, I do miss being able to sit there though together through some of those baseball team totals because it's a good time. And they usually end in happiness, which it makes the struggle through, you know, in inning number two that much better because you kind of know that this will end up working out. But yeah, man, I love when there's a baseball team total when the, you know, what's the big thing you send out, like the little target there, like
the target and the nuclear bomb going off. Yes, they're good stuff. Yeah. Usually because what the thought, and by the way, I don't know what changed on Twitter, but I can't find the old one that I used to use. But it usually would go like this, and people would catch on when we were having a lot of fun a couple years ago. It was the radar screen would pop up, and it's like the bat saying like, oh, he's got one, and then it would be like, okay, later on night when it hits, you just see the atom bomb. Going like the nuclear bomb explosion. Got another one here. Love that stuff here. So it's fun to do. Hopefully we get a streak where it's like, forget about winning, but hey man, we had some five out of the last six nights. Like we're firing left and right. We're still in that holding pattern here, but hey, got 1-0. It's better than 0-1, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, you got to make do with what you can. How are those games going right now? Is there any like live juice to look at there?
3-0 Angels still games. Against the Orioles. You know what? Let's see what that live team total is here for the O's. Baltimore right now is at a 2 at a -136. And the Angels sitting here at a 5 at a -125. There's one runner on, nobody out in the fifth inning. And who's at the plate? Oh, my God, Mickey Moniak is at the plate. So the Hammers are coming up.
Playing right very well, him. Mickey Moniak, right?
How about that? I mean, just needed to go out in a place where nobody cares about baseball. And you can survive out there for the Angels, apparently.
We'll see how long it lasts, though.
Let's see the other games.
It's only got a few games.
2-0 Marlins over the Nationals. No real juice there. Rays, Mets, nothing really doing there in that game.
What? But you don't think this Angels team total? Man on, nobody out. Leadoff guy up here, Mickey Moniak, with Trout and Ohtani to follow, needing two runs. In the fifth, you're going to get the full nine innings.
Yeah, but I haven't had really an eye on the game. You know what I mean? So it's just
spinning
it around. It is a cold jump in to do. And also, it's usually the angle of what you feel comfortable with. I always look at the team that doesn't have any runs and go, well, can they get two to tie? As opposed to the Angels like needing three to win at this point, already with the lead. But again, if you're watching, you got a little bit better feel for it. But you're right, theoretically here, right? Mickey Moniak gets on. You probably got the five. Oh, there we go. It's 3-0 now. It's just updated. Oh, wait, no, it blinked and got back there. Okay, so they put it back up here. Two strikes, two balls here. 7.5 is the total for the game. That's an interesting one, and it's juiced heavily to 130. Are we expecting big things out of the top of the lineup today for the Angels? It could be. Short segment coming up. We'll find out where JP is going. Fresh off his money line Miami Heat wager yesterday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here before we hit the top of the hour on Moneyline for a Thursday afternoon, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie, it's Kevin, and JP celebrating his winnings yesterday. He said, K-Dub, I don't need any points here. Just going to take the Miami Heat on the money line. See you when I see you. So today, another NBA game on the docket, the Denver Nuggets, the Los Angeles Lakers. I assume that's where we're going, JP, right?
It is indeed where we're going.
Oh, what was his prop? Jokic, oh, that didn't work out. Because you had that day in advance under, prop I think? In Lakers Nuggets. Yeah, that didn't work out. He did slow down, but the first half was a little too much there. What was his game one prop in Lakers Nuggets? I'm assuming he gave one out day of. JP,
double header.
Remember?
Wasn't it a double header?
Anthony Davis points over.
Yes.
Ah, so the cancel out. All right.
40. All right, so we got Lakers tonight, and it is a prop you're going with, right?
Yes, it's not a points prop, though.
Oh, boy.
I'm thinking he's going threes now. By the way, I did fire on another same game parlay here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, which I'm going to release a little bit later.
You love the same game parlays.
Fun. Well, see, here's what I know. And this is why, like, because I don't spend a lot of money on same game parlays. They're usually like $25, right? But I feel the need that, like, when I wake up in the morning, I put them in. I like to be a part of it, like, because I don't want to be one of, I'm just going to fire this parlay in and people take it. I win or lose. I don't bet it. Like, I always like to have skin in the game when I talk about stuff, even if it's only for like $25, $50, or a shoot a snapshot. You know, team totals, and you see me put out the run out robins. Use like a unit, $100 or so. Sometimes, you know, $150, just depending on it. It's not necessarily about the money. It's just about having that timestamp of riding and dying. And also, I'm the type of guy that I actually need to bet it at a sports book. Like, Donnie, what do you want to? Now, hold on. Let me log in there, actually see what I do have, because I forget half the stuff I do. But the 25 mile high club, man, got some calls from upper management, pats on the back all over the place. Tell me I'm going places. I got the right thing. Yeah, we got it. We got it. And you ready for it? I'm going to give it away in hour number two. But JP, we'll find out where he's going. I already know it's a 3-point prop. Don't let him tell you different. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.